on the Colorado State Sports Network, powered by Canvas Credit Union. From Learfield IMG College, this is the Colorado State Insider with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
All right, welcome everybody to another edition of the Colorado State Insider Podcast. It's presented by The Group, and we're a day late on the podcast, but decided to push it back just one day because of Colorado State men's basketball. They were, of course, on the road last night in Logan, Utah, taking on the Utah State Aggies, a game that didn't exactly go the way the Rams wanted it to go, 83-64, the final score, as Colorado State would fall to the Aggies, but have no fear, you get another crack at Utah State coming up on Thursday night at 9 p.m. tip-off. Hi, everybody. Brian Roth with you. Thank you for tuning in once again to the podcast. We appreciate you coming aboard. If you go to csurams.com and listen to the podcast through there, appreciate that, but make sure to find the podcast other places as well and subscribe to the podcast. That certainly helps us out, and to review the podcast if you could. And, of course, as always, our request to spread the word to other Colorado State Ram fans. All right, here's what we have coming up on the show. Of course, we'll look back at the Colorado State game last night in Logan, and again, not the way the Rams wanted it to go. Utah State's really good, and Colorado State kind of ran into a buzzsaw last night. So we'll listen back to some of the highlights on how the game went down. Then we'll hear some post-game thoughts from head coach Nico Medved, and then we'll look ahead to Thursday night. I mean, what kind of changes does Colorado State have to make? What do they have to do to get the split? Because when you look at the big picture of things, you come to a road date against Utah State, the team that you're competing with, the upper echelon of the Mountain West Conference. You're really looking for a split on these. Not sure, of course, yeah. The team's going in with the mindset of winning both games. But from the big picture view, I mean, a split would be a big success coming out of the series, and so you still have that opportunity in front of you. So that's the men's basketball talk. We'll talk a little Colorado State women's basketball as well. They're going to start a two-game set with Utah State tonight at Moby Arena. Ryan Williams' team playing good basketball. They, of course, did not get to play last week because San Jose State had COVID issues on the women's basketball side. And then, well, San Jose State announced last week that they are opting out for the rest of the season. They become the first Mountain West Conference men's or women's basketball team to opt out for the season. They had only played four games this year at San Jose State. On the women's side, they were 2-2 and just had COVID problems building up and building up. Obviously, the restrictions in Santa Clara County up there in Northern California. So the San Jose State women were down in Phoenix. They had to be relocated, and finally they just kind of said enough's enough, and quite frankly, with the issues that they had and the fact that they had to relocate, I do not blame them one bit. So Colorado State had the week off in women's basketball last week, and they'll take on Utah State tonight and Friday afternoon. Then finally on the podcast, we'll have Doug Max on the show. Of course, Doug, a long-time CSU career. He started out as a student athlete at CSU, and of course, he spent nearly two decades as a track and field coach for Colorado State, and then finished his career in administration in the athletic department. Over 40 years of service to Colorado State. We'll get Doug's thoughts on his career in the green and gold. But first, we do talk Colorado State Ram basketball, and again, CSU, game one of a two-game set here in Logan, Utah, recording this podcast at the Spring Hill Suites in beautiful Logan, Utah, as we have a day off here. Rams fall 83-63, and man, it was set up to be such a big series and a big game. And like I said, you still have a chance to sweep here, but Colorado State coming into the contest last night, they were 10-2 on the season, 7-1 in Mountain West Conference play, and the Rams were bringing in a four-game win streak. Now, of course, CSU last week, they were on the road playing against San Jose State. Of course, that game was in Phoenix, and San Jose State, let's just put it frankly, they are not very good. It's not a very good basketball team, and Colorado State went down there, they took care of business. I mean, again, we talked about it last week on the podcast, and I talked about it last week in Phoenix on the game broadcast, but if you fancy yourself as a Mountain West Conference championship contender, and Colorado State does, but if you think you have a chance to win a conference title, you cannot in any way, shape, or form go down to San Jose State and struggle with the Spartans, even lose to the Spartans. I mean, that would be unthinkable. And Colorado State, they went down, had a great mindset, took care of business. They got the sweep of San Jose State 90-57 last Thursday, a game in which they were up by 26 in the first half. And then on Saturday, 88-61, Colorado State getting the win against San Jose State. So CSU, in a workmanlike fashion, they go down to Phoenix. They get the two wins over San Jose State. It's what you're expected to do against a bad ball club in San Jose State. And CSU flies home on Saturday night, got back to the Loveland Fort Collins Airport around 10:30, and got one day at home, one full day in Fort Collins. That was Sunday, and then back to the air, and they flew on Monday here to Logan, Utah for the date with Utah State last night. So Colorado State, and I talked about it with head coach Nico Medved before the game yesterday, saying it almost feels like kind of an NBA schedule. I mean, the Rams were in Phoenix for 5 days. They played two games down there. Then you turn around, you have one day at home, and then you're back on another road trip. They're going to spend 4 days here in Logan, Utah. Last night was their third game at 6 days, so it kind of has that NBA-type feel to it, and it's a grind. I mean, it certainly is. But Colorado State coming into this series here against Utah State, really an opportunity to battle one of the top teams in the conference on the road again. Now, remember, Colorado State had already gone to San Diego State here earlier this season. Rams were at San Diego State on January 2nd, January 4th. They were able to get the split. Of course, one of those games was that epic 26-point come-from-behind victory that was the biggest come-from-behind victory in CSU basketball history and Mountain West Conference history. So CSU has already gone on the road to play one of the quote-unquote top three or four teams in the Mountain West Conference. And the series with Utah State that began last night, it was another one of those opportunities. And you know, I mean, coming into it, it's going to be really, really tough. And in particular, because Utah State, they are always good on their home court in the Spectrum. But they also are one of the few Mountain West Conference programs that are allowing fans to their games here this year. There were 1,600 fans in the arena last night. And trust me when I say, I was there. I mean, you can feel them. Now, again, it's not 10,000 that sometimes you would get there at the Spectrum. But 1,600, especially when you have played all season long without fans and in empty arenas, and in the case last week in Phoenix, played literally in a fitness center down in Phoenix, and certainly no crowd there, it has a bit of a different feel. Now, it certainly didn't have an effect on the 19-point loss. I mean, that it was a non-factor, but it's another interesting aspect that helps Utah State, certainly. I mean, Utah State, with the win last night over Colorado State now, in their last 23 Mountain West Conference home games, they're 21-2. Okay, so not many people go to Utah State and win in normal years, and here you get a little bit of a crowd. It certainly helps Utah State, and they were good again last night. So CSU knew they were going to get another big test, and I think even just sitting there calling the game last night courtside, watching Utah State, I started thinking to myself, I don't know if Utah State looks so good tonight, because they are really, really good. And I think they are real good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Nemish Keita is a game changer on the inside in both the offense and defensive ends of the floor. But coming off a series against San Jose State, who is so bad, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I mean, does Utah State look really, really good because San Jose State's so bad, right? It's like going from hot weather to cold weather within the span of a couple of days, and all of a sudden, you know, 65, 70 degrees feels like the middle of the summer, and you feel like you want to go to the beach or the pool because maybe you've had a couple of 20-degree days, 2 or 3 days prior to it, right? So the contrast sometimes skews your perception a little bit, and I found myself thinking about that last night. Does Utah State look this good because we have just come off a series with San Jose State? And I think there is a little bit of that mixed into it. But yeah, Utah State is good. And you look at this Utah State team coming into the game last night, 11-3 on the year. They got off to a tough start. They went to Sioux Falls and played in a little multi-team event in South Dakota to open up the season. They went 1-3 there. They lost their first two games. They're breaking in some new players. And, of course, they're coming off, Utah State is, a Mountain West Conference tournament title. They were on their way to the NCAA tournament last year before it got canceled. And they had the best player in the Mountain West Conference in Sam Merrill. And so they had some new pieces to break in. But, man, have they been playing great basketball of late. Coming into the game last night, they had won 10 consecutive games, and they were coming off a sweep right here in Logan of San Diego State. They beat them last Thursday 57-45. They beat San Diego State 64-59 on Saturday, and it's a Utah State team that I think kind of put the rest of the conference on notice after those two wins last week, because they had been beaten up on some of the lesser teams in the conference. I mean, they absolutely smoked San Jose State. They smoked Air Force. I mean, they were beating some of the other lower echelon teams. And the San Diego State series last week for Utah State represented the first against one of the top tier teams, and they passed with flying colors. And they do it with defense and rebounding. This was a Utah State team. Going into last night's game, they had held seven straight opponents to under 60 points. And if you watched any of those San Diego State games, they completely locked down the Aztecs in both games. And remember, they held them to 45 points in game number one. So it's a Utah State team that's an elite defensive team. And you knew that would cause problems for Colorado State. But maybe more than that, they're an elite rebounding team. And of course, you have Nemish Keita on the inside. He is a game changer, 7-footer, Keita, preseason All Mountain West Conference selection. Then you have Justin Bean, who is a Pierce Hornung type from, of course, yesteryear. Just a big time motor. Bean at 6'7". He's their second leading rebounder. He crashes the glass, and so does everybody else on their team. In fact, Utah State had not been out rebounded in a single game here this year, and at the end of the contest last night, they were not out-rebounded by CSU. In fact, the Rams go minus 19 on the glass. And so, you know, I thought that Utah State was going to be really good. Coming away from that game, and even comparing them against San Jose State, again, we talked about that a moment ago, can kind of skew perception just a little bit. Yeah, Utah State's legit. I mean, they are really, really good. They don't have a Sam Merrill this year. A guy that can just go out and get you buckets and get you 28 points, get you 35 points. Of course, we've seen Merrill hang a ton of big games on Colorado State in the past. They don't have that, but they have Keita still in the middle. He's better than ever, changes everything on the defensive end. He's upgraded his offense, and then you got a lot of pieces around him. Utah State is really, really good. But Colorado State still felt, going into last night's game, they played well. They would have to play well, mind you. But if they played well, I thought they'd have a chance to win. All right, let's take you back to Tuesday night in Logan and listen to how this contest went down. So, all right, here we go. The tip is won by Keita, and we are officially underway here from the Spectrum. Great to have everybody with us. Spins baseline back to the inside, try to bounce pass, threw it away. Stolen, breakout going the other way. Here's Kendall Moore. He'll lay it in with the right hand, and CSU has the opening bucket of the contest. Upside to Wooster, drives on Moore, down the lane, scoop shot is up, off the rim, no. Rebound, Keita tipped back up and in. Here comes Kendall, accelerates down the lane, kicks out Thistlewood, three ball, bingo! And CSU retakes the lead on the triple from Adam Thistlewood. Hands off to the right side, Anthony, drives baseline, underneath the hoop, sends it corner, Miller three, good. Brock Miller shooting 39% of the season. He is their best three-point shooter. And it's a 13-9 lead for Utah State. Deshaun Thomas top of the key. He's going to launch a three and has the answer. Deshaun Thomas buries the triple from straight away. 17-12, Rams down by five. Deshaun Thomas top of the key. Another three for Deshaun. Buries his second triple of the contest. Bean top of the key. Now to Miller. Another three. Good. Brock Miller is white hot. He has hit four threes in the contest. 4 of 7. Lead's been pushed up to 14. And the Rams with work to do here tonight in Logan. We're at halftime. It's Utah State 44, Colorado State 29. Adam hands off to Stevens. Boy, the Rams just struggling offensively. Ready, Utah State. Stevens going to launch up a three left side. Bingo. So Isaiah Stevens able to get a three to finally go down. 46-32. Rams down by 14. Wooster controls right side. Try to get it down low. Ball knocked away. Stolen. 3-on-3. Back the other way. Led by Stevens. Down the lane. Sends it out.
Moore stepping into three, fires and hits. Back-to-back triples for Colorado State, 46-35, Rams down by 11. Back down there on Thomas. Kata just holding the ball and then sends it out. Ashworth fakes a three, steps inside, lobs Kata down low, lays it up, good, and the foul. Hands off to Anderson, top of the key, up between the rings, sends it to Wooster, high on the left, trying to feed to Kata, low block, he's covered, out to Anderson, get a launch of three, it's good.
Alfonso Anderson
is not much of a scorer, not a great three-point shooter at 29%, but the Aggies have it going here tonight, 7-1-48. And that's going to do it. Well, the Rams take one on the chin here tonight in Logan, Utah, and certainly not their best effort. And ran into a Utah State team that is rolling and red hot.
All right, so there you have it. Colorado State falls 83-64 on the road at Utah State. And with the loss, Rams go to 10-3 on the season, 7-2 in conference play. Utah State now 12-3 overall. They are 9-0 in conference play, and the Aggies have won 11 straight games. Some of the numbers from the contest, CSU was not very good defensively. They end up giving up 83 points in the contest. Utah State shot the ball well. They were 10 of 19 from deep. That's 53% from three-point range. A Utah State team that coming into the game had only been at 34% shooting from deep. And Brock Miller hurt him. He knocked down six of those 10 threes. He had a game-high 20. Then Nemish Keita, the seven-footer in the middle, 18 points, 12 rebounds. For the Rams, Isaiah Stevens led him with 16 points, 14 for Adam Thistlewood. David Roddy struggled in the contest. Roddy just 2 of 6 from the floor. He had 9 points, did pull down 8 rebounds. And then, boy, you talk about the rebounds. Colorado State had their hands full. We knew they would, but man, 44-25 on the glass in favor of Utah State, including 13-4 in offensive rebounds. All right, following the game, had a chance to sit down on the postgame show with head coach Nico Medved.
You know what's crazy is, like, the rebounding, 100%. I think they had 4 offensive rebounds at the first media, if I have my math correct.
Yeah, that's correct.
But we weren't in a great flow offensively a little bit. I think for the most part in this game, other than we had some real sloppy turnovers, but we were able to execute for a good job. I thought the problem was our defense tonight.
Right.
I mean, that was the issue. I mean, clearly, we didn't really take away anything from them. I mean, they made threes. They got to the free throw line. They scored in the paint. And when you're taking the ball out of the net the whole game, we were never able to garner any momentum on the defensive end. And even when we started to get into a rhythm on offense that way, we just could not find a way to stop them. And, you know, clearly, whether it's a schematic thing, maybe we have to make some adjustments. But like I told those guys, it's a lot more than that. I mean, my biggest disappointment is I don't think we brought our best. And we're going to have to find a way to get that corrected, and we're going to have to play with a lot better intensity and focus on that end of the floor to have any chance on Thursday.
Yeah, you know, you guys, especially early in the game, seemed to be a little loose with the basketball. And I don't know if you give them credit or it's just one of the games where just couldn't quite –
yeah, I don't know, like, balls. Yeah, but man, like, in that we had several opportunities, like, you know, we run a backdoor play, we have it right in our hands,
right.
We fumble it out
right.
of bounds, we have another one where right to rim fumbled out of bounds, we had a couple out top that just kind of went right through our hands, and that's really uncharacteristic of our guys, and I don't know why that was, Brian, I don't quite know, but what I do know is, okay, sometimes those things happen, you got to be better, but I was just really disappointed in us defensively, and, you know, we got some tough matchups clearly that way, but we're going to have to be better, and I thought that was the story, it was that, and then obviously, especially early in the game, it was the defensive boards, but too many open shots. We really didn't take them out of anything that they wanted to do, and I thought, you know, we got a lot of good looks, you know what I mean, too, and we're going to have to make threes against this team we had in the lane. They're a team that's difficult to score on in there, but we just got to be better on the defensive end.
Yeah. How do you combat the rebounding in game two after going minus 19 tonight? How do you combat
I think there's a couple things. I mean, I think we got to look at the film, and obviously, you know, you have no room for error on missed blockouts, but I think we were just in rotation too much defensively, and when you're in rotation, you allow the ball to be driven in the paint. You know, it's hard. The big guys run up your backs, and it's very, very difficult. I thought, you know, early on in the game, We mix up two ball screen coverages. Raleigh Wooster gets down the lane, drives it up there. Our big has to rotate over to stop him, and here comes Nemish Kata running down the lane because we don't have a body on a body right there. When he gets that close to the basket, I mean, unless you have a chainsaw, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
yeah.
I mean, and so we got to do a much better job that way.
Yeah. What was the message to your ball club after the game?
I think, you know, I was disappointed, and I think, you know, we all have to take a look at ourselves, coaches included, and say, hey, there's some things that maybe we can do different schematically. But at the same point in time, if we think that just making some adjustments tomorrow is going to be the difference in us finding a way, we're kidding ourselves. You know, there's some things that aren't adjustments. You know, there are no choices. And, you know, it wasn't like you're out here dogging it, but you can't play at a 7 or 8. You got to play at a 10.
Yep.
And so we got to find a way to bring a lot more focus and edge and toughness, you know, on both ends of the floor, particularly on defense. And, you know, if we can do some things a little bit better, that's one thing. But let's not get tricked up and say, hey, there's some adjustments we're going to make. Our mentality has got to be better. And if we're going to get to that next level right now, you know, there are no choices. You know, you got to come out here and we got to play with a lot better intensity and focus than we did.
Yeah, and you knew that, though, coming
yeah.
in.
Yeah, and I think our guys know that, but there are no choices. There's one way you have to play, you know, and you have to, you know, exert your will on the game, and clearly we did not do that.
Yep. All right, Nico, thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, there's head coach Nico Medved following the 83-64 loss for Colorado State last night at Utah State. And, well, game number two coming up on Thursday night, 9 p.m. tip-off on FS1. Of course, we'll have it across the Colorado State Sports Network beginning at 8:30 with our pregame show, and again 9 o'clock is the tip-off. And listen, you ask about adjustments, and you say, okay, where does Colorado State have to be better going into the Thursday night game? And we just heard head coach Nico Medved talk about it. I think that's his approach, at least it was right after the game. And of course, I'll talk to Nico a bunch today and tomorrow, and we'll talk about it in our pre-show. But mindset. And we talked about the great mindset going into the San Jose State Series, where you couldn't take the Spartans lightly. You had to get after them, and CSU did. It was a professional weekend where they went down, took care of business, and moved on. Well, they knew they were going to have to match the intensity level of Utah State last night, and they didn't. As Nico Medved said, you can't play at a 7, you can't play at an 8 going into games like this. And he hinted at the fact he thought his team was about a 7 or an 8 in terms of intensity and focus. Well, they're going to have to be at a 10. I don't think any question, just watching that game courtside last night, that if CSU does not come out at a 10, intensity level, focus level, locked in, then they're probably not going to win again on Thursday night. They're probably going to get swept. And so that's going to be one of the big keys. You got to go in with a different mindset, because you understand this about Utah State. The Aggies are going to play their tails off every single night, and in particular on their home floor. It's easier to play at a 9 or a 10 when you're on your home floor and you have some fans behind you. It just is. That's why going on the road and playing is hard. But Colorado State's going to have to match that. And I think, you know, you heard Nico just say it was the biggest key going into the game on Thursday, and I think it is. So that's kind of what we're going to watch. Obviously, the Rams will make some tweaks in how they go about defending and attacking Utah State on the defensive and offensive ends, respectively. But can you match that intensity and focus that Utah State played with last night? I think this Ram team will come out and play a lot better. I just do. From watching them the last 2 years, I think this ball club is going to rebound and play well coming up on Thursday night. All right, let's switch our attention to Colorado State women's basketball. And the women's team, well, it's been a tough go for them a little bit this year. Not in terms of wins and losses, but in terms of just playing some basketball games. Colorado State women's team, 8-2 on the year. They're 4-2 in Mountain West Conference play. And they swept the University of Denver in mid-December. And then they had to wait 19 days before they got a chance to play another basketball game. They did on January 7th and 9th. They were down in Vegas taking on UNLV. They would split on the road with the Lady Rebels. And then they were supposed to come home and play San Jose State last week, Thursday and Saturday, games at Moby Arena. Well, those games got postponed initially due to COVID issues within the San Jose State basketball program, and eventually those games have been canceled because San Jose State women's basketball program has decided to opt out for the rest of the season. Now, of course, like their men's team,
the ladies team for San Jose State, they were down in Phoenix because of the restrictions in Santa Clara County, which is where San Jose is out there in California. And at the end of the day, they just said, enough's enough. Let's get everybody back home and let's get everybody back to normal lives. And, you know, at the end of the day, you really do have to respect that because that's a tough situation when you're away from home, living in a hotel in Phoenix, 1,000 miles away from your home. So Colorado State, they're going to take on Utah State here coming up tonight and Friday. Yeah, that's right, tonight and Friday. 6 p.m., the tip-off here tonight for the Colorado State women. 1 p.m. on Friday afternoon. And, well, on Monday night, we had our Coors Light Colorado State basketball coaches show. And, well, we were talking to Ryan Williams about this COVID era and playing basketball and the fact that you don't know up until nearly game time that a game is going to go off as scheduled. Talk about that, and it'll give us a little bit of a preview of the Utah State Aggies that come into Moby Arena tonight with a 4-5 record. Rams set to take on Utah State, at least we hope, coming up on Wednesday and Friday. Wednesday at 6 p.m. tip-off time between the Rams and the Aggies right here at Moby Arena. Then the Friday game matinee affair at 1 p.m. Utah State coming in at 4-5 in Mountain West Conference play. All right, Ryan, I mentioned we hope you're going to play these games because Utah State has some COVID issues of their own.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, they played Thursday, Saturday at San Diego State, and we practiced Saturday morning, and it was a 1 p.m. tip or something like that. And so get home and, you know, get the lunch all ready to go and get the computer all up on the TV,
right.
and you know, just delay after delay, and it came to be where Utah State, I think, had a student manager maybe test positive for COVID, and I think they could have maybe played the game, but it was delayed so much and flights and all that stuff to try to get out of there. So it did get postponed, and obviously we're seeing that on Twitter, and we're worried about, God, you know, Wednesday, that's right around the corner. Are they going to be able to get here?
Right.
And
right.
We did get confirmation late last night that they're still planning on showing up here for Wednesday's game. But they are battling the COVID, and I think they've got a handful of kids and coaches in quarantine for a bit. But the protocol, the Mountain West Conference protocol, is 8 players, 1 coach. And if you can field that, then games are on. And so they're able to do that. And so we're excited to and appreciate them getting here to play the games for sure. And we'll see what happens.
8 players, 1 coach. Man, that harkens back to sophomore high school basketball, right? When you look at a bench and that's on the bench. You got the 3 players and just the single coach. And I guess that's kind of the way it's going. And really, I mean, look, Utah State and San Diego State, they had already played a game, as you had mentioned. I mean, Utah State was already in San Diego. And with any of these games now, just because you play the first game of series doesn't mean you're going to play the second. And you just don't know, really, right? I mean, I guess it comes down to this. You don't know if a game's going to happen until sometimes 2 hours before a tip-off. I mean, that's when you kind of have a good idea if a game's going to go off or not.
Absolutely. You know, we had a game this year. It was home. We had 3 players held up in the training room because we did not have their test results. Mm. And they ran out. The game had already started. The results came in the first quarter. And, you know, 2 of them were starters. And so they ran out and they just ran right to the – Coach Burkett got him right to the scorer's table.
Just
but
check him right in,
you
right?
Just don't know.
Wow.
And just, you know, after every – you know, you play that Thursday game or that first game of the series, immediately after that game you're getting tested.
Right.
Whether you go back to the hotel and get tested or you stay in the arena and get tested. And then sometimes it can take a bit to get the results. So, yeah, you're on pins and needles. And so it just – kids have to be flexible, be patient. A lot easier to be, you know, said than done. But, yeah, A lot of times you don't know if you're playing that game right until the ball goes up.
Right. I mean, 6 p.m. Wednesday is when this game's supposed to get going, and you probably won't be confident until maybe 5:30.
Absolutely.
On Wednesday.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope you guys can play. Give us a quick scouting report on Utah State. I mentioned they're 4-5 on the season. They got a sweep a couple weeks ago against Air Force, and we mentioned they only got the one game in at San Diego this past weekend, and they would lose that one 68-60.
And had a really good first half at San Diego State and just kind of ran out of gas there, but had two really good wins at home against Air Force, who just pounded Boise. And so it's just a team that really likes to play fast. They've got a really fast point guard that can do a lot of damage in the push. So our get-back defense, Brian, is absolutely critical. You're going to get some ball screen stuff that we're going to have to be ready to switch. And they've got some bigs that can step out and shoot it. And they just don't play with the conventional – like center or big. It's those kids are versatile. You know, they can drive it, and so it's a different matchup for us than the one we're coming off of against UNLV. Puts a lot of pressure on, can we keep the ball in front? You know,
right.
Keep the ball in front because they drive it. They can put some shooters out there. They've got a kid that's coming off a 32-point game. So they're difficult to scout in that. Each night it's been somebody different. It's not like, you know, these two or three kids are dominating all the scoring. It's been 7-8 different kids that have had some nice performances. And you've got to be locked in up and down that scouting report because this is an offensive team that can hurt you if you're not ready to go.
Well, and then you mentioned, I mean, with the contact tracing, you're not even sure who Utah State is bringing out. I mean.
Absolutely. We're going to get out early for warm-ups and see who are the 8 or who are the 10, however many they're going to bring. And because I'm sure there's some kids we don't know about on that scout. But it's just the challenging times. But the positive is we're going to play, and our kids are anxious to get back on that floor and get those competitive juices flowing again.
All right, that's head coach Ryan Williams of the Colorado State women's basketball program. 8-2 on the season. They're 4-2 in conference play. Again, they get Utah State tonight and on Friday, and then a huge, huge two-game set up in Boise next Wednesday, January 27th. Next Friday, January 29th, that's a Boise State program that sits atop the Mountain West Conference with just the one loss, and that's a Boise State program that is rolling right now, and that is going to go a long way to deciding the women's Mountain West Conference championships in the sport of basketball. All right, let's close out the program here tonight and wanted to talk a little bit about an old friend of ours, Doug Max, and a stalwart Ram, somebody that has given his blood, sweat, and tears to Colorado State University for over 4 decades. Doug came to Colorado State as a hurdler in 1971 and just did miss qualifying for the U.S. Olympic team in 1976. After 4 years of coaching track and field at Estes Park High School and then Western Kentucky, Doug returned to Colorado State in 1980 to become the head track and field coach for Colorado State University, and he would be the head track and field coach of the Rams for 19 years, all the way up until 1997, and then from 1997 until just this past year, December 31st, when he retired, Doug, Senior Associate Athletic Director for Facilities at Colorado State. One of the great guys that I have come across in Fort Collins and at Colorado State. And Doug joined myself and Mike Brohard of CSURams.com on our weekly radio show last week called Ram Jam, and we look back on his career at Colorado State. Doug, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations on the great career and the retirement. You're now living up there in Estes Park. But kind of give us an idea of what Colorado State means to Doug Max.
Well, that's kind of a loaded question for me. You know, actually, having been a part of Colorado State for so long, it's amazing. When I look back at it, I look at just a great experience in life and working with student athletes, getting to meet numerous people. Colorado State provided me a great job for 40 years. And then of course my children went to Colorado State, which was awesome. And, so our whole lives been wrapped around being in Fort Collins and at Colorado State.
Doug, you've been involved with Colorado State track and field for a long time now. Of course, you started off as a hurdler, as we mentioned. In the early 80s, you were hired as the head coach, and then you retired and went into the administration, and then Del Hessel took over. And of course, now Brian Bedard has taken over the track program, and it's just continued to be terrific. I mean, when you look at the track and field program, what are you most proud about?
Well, you know, as a coach, you always want to win championships, and you want to produce in track and field All-Americans and Olympians, and Colorado State track and field and cross country have done just that. So when I stopped coaching, we left it in pretty good shape. And then, of course, the funding even got better. I mean, when I was coaching, I did not have the full allotment of scholarships on the men. So the women, we did. But, you know, once that all caught up, everything got so, so much better. But, yeah, the Rams have done great. I mean, you know, after I retired from track and field, Dale Hessel, who – you know, kind of an interesting, I won't take too much time, but Dale was my college coach and I here at Colorado State. And then I hired him back in 97. He didn't want to be head coach. He just wanted to be an assistant coach. And then after I got into athletic administration, we made Dale the head coach and then now into Brian. So two great Rams, you know, and Dale did a great job of building it. And then Brian's taken it even to a higher level. Coach Bedard's a special, special person, no doubt about it.
Hey, Doug, one of the things that fascinates me about your you know, four-decade career, college athletics changes while you're in the middle of it. How hard is it for you to adapt, to realize when the old ways need to give way to the new ways?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's really a good question. You know, I've been the sport administrator for track and cross country. So then I'm able to stay in contact with both the coaches and the student athletes. And, you know, the recruiting has changed. How you recruit has changed. Athletes themselves as people have not changed. It's just the culture has changed. And so having seen that, it's a whole different ballgame 5 years ago and 10 years ago, big time, you know. It's all good. It's not bad. It's just different. They're thinking and look how Colorado State has grown in its budget, in its facilities, and those type of things put high expectations into the student athletes' minds. So it's just really a combination of all of that, Mike.
You've had nothing but hard decisions you get to make as a coach. And then when you go into administration, you speak of that budget, the budgets have gotten better, but still, you know, you got every program has needs. How hard is it really to go through that decision process of where the money goes when a track gets upgraded, when a softball and soccer facility gets upgraded?
Well, you know, I think that's one thing I help bring to the table for our staff and our coaches, having been a coach and understanding what they've had to go through as far as funding, the battles that they have. The facilities that they have, I took that as a challenge, right? And if you look at all of our facilities have been upgraded, and we got stopped on softball and soccer, unfortunately, because of the COVID, but we had that ready, and that will get done, you know. But you know, it's really a challenge. I mean, you sit down, you have to prioritize, you have to look at your schedule. But what I have found is that through all of that, we've been able to meet our goals as far as, we may have been limited on travel, we may have been limited on equipment, and so forth. But the key to the whole thing, and I tell this to our folks, is gotta be persistent and you gotta be determined. And if you do that, that's how it gets done. And, you know, there was a project on the track project when we were able to rebuild the track completely in 2017. That was a huge deal. Our track was 29 years old. It was a very good track, but it wore out, you know, the base and everything had to do it, you know. And so I just kept reminding my administration, hey, we have to get this done, because one of these days the track's not going to be functional, and where do you put 100 student athletes? And they've always took that challenge, and then we're able to get that done and bring it up to spec, you know. So yeah, that's a major deal, especially when you're looking at facilities and haven't been a part of facilities. It's a huge part of the recruitment and how am I going to get better.
Doug Maggs joining us here on Ram Jam, retired after four decades with Colorado State University. Doug, I want to go back to when you started your coaching tenure at Colorado State as a head track and field coach. You were hired by the great Fum McGraw, weren't you? Tell us a little bit about your relationship with Fum.
Well, you know, I'm so thankful that I had that opportunity, Ryan. Fum was such a neat guy. I remember when I came down to interview for the job, right? And he loved track and field. You know, he was a, you know, multiple All-American in a number of sports, and track was one of them. And so he, I remember we did the interviewing process with a group of people, and then he called me. Now, Fum was an early riser. He said, hey, you know, I'm going to give you a call and let you know what we're going to do about this. Well, then he called me like at 6:30 in the morning, like on a Monday. And he goes, Doug, can you come down? I said, yeah, I can come down. He said, so what? Be down here in about an hour? I said, yeah, okay. So I went down there, and then I went into his office, and he asked me two questions, and they were both sport related, event related. He wanted to know a little bit more about the discus and the hammer. And I was a sprinter, sprint hurdler, right? So I tried to pull a little wool over his eyes, but but anyway, so after I answered those questions, he said, well, you want to take this job? I said, yes, sir. He said, okay, first, did you ask your wife? I said, yeah, I did. I got permission to take this job if you offered it to me. Fum, I started laughing, and he goes, good. So then he pulls out of his drawer and he sets a contract in front of me. He says, is that going to work for you? He said, well, it's more than I'm making now. Let's do it. You know, and that's kind of how it started. And, you know, then get this, guys. He came up, he stood up, went over and shut the door, took off his jacket. He was dressed in a suit, took off his jacket, rolled up his sleeves, and he pulled out about, I'd say, a dozen folders. And he said, let's go to work. And at that point, we started talking about coaching, what positions, you know, what we need to do on scholarships and the whole bit. And it was really, really great. So he and I had a great friendship. I know he was a dear friend, and I became a dear friend of the family. And, but yeah, that's how it started. And I'll always remember how it ended, right? So we, Fum called me the night before, and he says, can you come in tomorrow morning? And I said, yeah, I can come in tomorrow morning early. So I went in, and he said, well, Doug, and I thought, gosh, I'm going to get canned, you know, coming in early, going to do it, get you, you know. And then I came in, he says, I want to let you know, I'm sitting down with each head coach, is that I'm announcing my retirement today. And I said, well, wow, you know, I don't think you can do that, you know. And he said, well, I'm going to do it. And it was a great personal conversation. And then he says, I want you back in my office about 4:30 when you get done with practice in the afternoon. I said, okay. So I came back up there, and we had a great visit. I was sitting with Fred Oglesby and Fum, and then Fred took off. And then Fum said, here, Doug, he said, I'm done. He had his keys, and he put them on the desk. He said, let's go home. He left his keys on the desk, and that was the last time. It was kind of fun. You know, he just was, right, yeah, right. A good point. Yeah. But he was special, and he was a great leader. And I was inspired by him. So thanks for asking about him.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Doug, listen, thank you for everything that you have done for Colorado State Athletics. Certainly, you're going to be missed. There's no question about that. But I know you're only up in Estes Park, so you're not far away. And I'm sure we're going to see you around at Ram sporting events. But thank you for everything that you have done for Colorado State Athletics.
No, thank you, guys.
Kudos, Doug.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Ryan.
All right, there he goes, Doug Maggs. And yeah, about that, hired by the great Fum McGraw. Best of luck to Doug. He's back up in Estes Park, where Doug is living here today, and to take in retirement. Although Doug's so active,
I wouldn't call him exactly retired. You know, Doug has many things still on his horizon. All right, that's going to do it here for the Colorado State Insider Podcast presented by The Group. We appreciate you tuning in on this Wednesday morning. Apologize, we're a day late, but wanted to record it here Wednesday morning and get it out Wednesday instead of our regular Tuesday afternoon when, of course, Colorado State men's team was playing on a Tuesday night. Don't forget the Rams and the Aggies coming up. Game two of the two-game set right here from Logan, Utah. And it's a 9 o'clock tip-off coming up tomorrow night, Thursday night. And we'll have the broadcast across the Colorado State Sports Network beginning at 8:30. All right, once again, thank you very much for tuning in. I'm Brian Roth, voice of the Rams, and thanks for listening to the Colorado State Insider Podcast presented by The Group.
This has been the Colorado State Insider with Brian Roth. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Colorado State Sports Network, powered by Canvas Credit Union.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.